So Shmuel Beis Perek Yedalad, Pasuk Yud. Vayomer HaMelech HaMedaber Eilaych. Vayavos Eilaych V'lo Yosifoy L'gasbach. So he's answering her, he's referring to her first question. He's saying, please, I'm asking you not to force me to reveal his location. I don't want you, the king, to take over and kill him. So, to that request, he grants her will, and he says, yes, don't worry, I'm not going to kill him myself. But he did not yet say, he did not yet address the other thing she asked him. What was the other thing she asked him? That he will protect her son from the rest of the family. The rest of the family still want to kill him. And David Melech is saying, listen, how can I go ahead against the rule of the Torah and stop the Goel Adam, the rest of the family, from killing this murderer? How can I do that? The Torah says that the Goel Adam is allowed to kill him. How can I go against that? That's the question. So, what does he say? V'toymer, Yizkor na Melech, et Hashem Elokecha, meharbes Goel Adam l'shaches, v'leshmidu es b'ni. Now she's asking him for the second thing. She says, I want you to make sure that the rest of the family doesn't kill him. And what's her reasoning? What does she say? Meharbeis goel adam l'shaches. So there's two pshatim over here. There's the pshat of the Ralbag, who explains that what she's saying, her line of reasoning is that she's asking him, please make sure that the rest of the family doesn't kill him. Because we don't want these Goel Adam, they're just going to... The whole point of Goel Adam is to revenge the blood of their own family. But what are they doing here? They're not only... They're doing the exact opposite. They're causing more death in the same family. Meaning instead of having one son killed, you're now going to have two sons killed. So the whole point of Goel Adam to revenge their own family doesn't apply over here. You're just adding more blood. Instead of one son being killed, you have two sons being killed. What benefit do you gain? That's the pshat of the Ralbag in the Malbim. The Ma'arik Ral has a bit of a different pshat. It doesn't really fit into the words, to the pasuk, but it's very interesting. He says that this woman is coming to David and she's telling him, listen, when Moshe Rabbeinu established that there will be 6 Ari Miklot in Eretz Yisrael, 6 cities where these murderers are going to be able to flee, the reason why there were 6 is because they could be spread out throughout the land of Israel. That way, anywhere you are in the land of Israel, it would be a short distance to the nearest Ir Miklat, the nearest city where you can find refuge. Why is that? We want to make sure that the murderer, even though he's a murderer, we want to make sure that he's going to get a good chance of getting to this Ir Miklat before the Goel Adam reach him and kill him. So we see clearly from that we're going to do everything we can to help out this murderer. Even though he's a murderer, we're still trying to help him.
He went to the Levinim also.
Right. The cities of the Levinim were considered a murderer.
I don't know, you're calling him a murderer. I always thought this is the case of it was an accident.
That's true, it was an accident, but it's still...
I mean, why are you calling him a murderer? Like,
what would you call it?
Like he meant to kill him from before.
How would you refer to him?
It's a hard word to say, he's not a murderer.
What is he? A killer?
He killed somebody by accident.
Okay, still, a killer? Huh? How would you call him?
What?
A killer? How would you refer to him?
How I would to them? I wouldn't call him a killer.
Call him a second-degree murderer.
A second-degree murderer?
It was by accident. Well, they were fighting together.
I mean, even this right. One over here, I mean, it's even less than somebody killed somebody by accident. Here, these two feet are fighting, one of them got killed.
Right, but
one of them could have got killed.
Right. We said that because they were in the field and it was in the heat of the moment, it's considered as if it was done...
But a person that you know is a. I came up to you, I took a gun out and I shot you. I can't run to the Mara Mikolet.
Sure you can.
I killed you
right.
on purpose.
Right.
I'm going to the Mara Mikolet only when it happens by accident.
No.
Right, but this case is compared...
Only when it happens by accident.
This case is compared to a case of a murder by accident. You're right, it's not exactly by accident, but we're comparing it to that because it's done in the heat of the moment. He kind of lost himself. And each one of them could have killed the other. Could have gone either way. So it's considered... you're right, it's not exactly the same, but it's compared to that case. So the Maamar Ikar is saying, just like what they are in Miklat, we do everything we can to make it easier for this person who killed by accident, so to over here, you, David HaMelech, this woman is saying, you, David HaMelech, should go ahead and have mercy on my son who killed his brother in the field. So I want you to go ahead and protect my son from the rest of the family. Not only that, she's asking him, Yizkor Na HaMelech Es Hashem Alekecha. When you go ahead and protect him, I want you to mention Hashem's name. When you take a shvuah to protect him, you should mention Hashem's name, because that's a much more powerful shvuah to ensure the fact that no one will touch him. And that's exactly what David HaMelech says. Vayomer Chai Hashem Mipol Mitharas Beneich Arzo. The end of Pasuk Yud Aleph says, David HaMelech takes a shvuah and he says, Yeah, Chai Hashem. He's mentioning Hashem's name. You make sure that no one will go ahead and kill her son. And this is exactly what this woman was aiming for. This is what she was hoping for. She was hoping that David HaMelech would go ahead and protect her son. And now she's got an opening to go ahead and compare this to the case of Avshalom. Now she finally got what she wanted, what she came for. So what does she do? Plus a good base. The woman turns to David HaMelech, and as they say in the U.S. military, sir, permission to speak freely. She's asking for permission to speak freely. She wants to go ahead and
get it off her shoulders,
so to speak, tell off David HaMelech for rejecting Avshalom. And David HaMelech gives her permission, and now she's going to present her argument. Which this is really what she came for. Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'tomer Aisha. She begins, she says, V'lama chashavta kazo yisal amalekim. Why did you suspect the Jewish people of such a thing? Why did you suspect that they would want to go ahead and kill the second brother who is the only living heir of a poor woman? Why would you even think that? Right? Why would you judge them so harshly? How could you accept that horrible story? Right? It sounds like someone who was like an outcast doesn't have any way back, according to the way you paskin. According to the way you accepted this story, kimois namus v'chamayim anigorim arza asher lo yosfu. She's giving him a mashal of just like water that spilled cannot be returned. V'lo yis Hashem elikim nefesh v'chashav achshavos leviti idach m'men midach. Someone who was already rejected should not go ahead, should always have some way back. This pasuk is mentioned many times in regard to tshuva. L'val yidach imenu nidach. Meaning someone who's already far away from Hashem should always have a way back. No matter how low you have sunk, there's always the possibility of doing tshuva, of repenting, of changing your ways. Hashem will always take you back. Now she's telling him, in regard to Avshalom, he was already rejected from you. He's living amongst the Goyim. He's living by his grandfather, who's a Goy. He's living not in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't have any Jews surrounding him. Why aren't you concerned that Avshalom will be influenced by his surroundings? He's already rejected from you. He's going to start mixing him with the Goyim, start behaving like them. Who knows, he might even marry a non-Jewish girl. And you're not giving him any way out. You're not leaving him any possibility to go ahead and come back to you and change his ways. That's, so to speak, the mussar that she's giving David HaMelech. Pasuk Desvav, Ve'ato asher bati lo daber el HaMelech, Adoni yasa davar hazeh. Ki ra'uni ha'om. V'tomer shifchasecho adaber no el HaMelech, Ula yasa HaMelech estvar amosai. Yeah, so she's telling him, now I'm really risking my life over here. Now that I'm coming and speaking to you, so to speak, giving you mussar, the people will hear about this and they're going to punish me. But she's saying that this bothered me so much that I wanted to take it off my heart. I wanted to take this burden off. I wanted to tell it over to you. I couldn't hold it back. I want you to protect me from the people. They might want to punish me for speaking to you like this. Now she's praising him, and she's saying, listen, at the end of the day, you paskened, you said that my son should be protected, right? So I want you to go ahead and act on your psak, and I want you to go ahead and allow Avshalom to return to you, because this is what you yourself asking.
I don't remember before where it just said that he was feeling bad about Avshalom. It didn't say he was banished or anything, just at all. He ran away. Why did he run away? Because he did something. He was afraid. But didn't say anything that David says, I'm going to get him.
Right, but it was clear that there was no way for him to come back to the kingdom. Right, David HaMelech did not want him there. She's telling him, she's giving him mussar, she's telling him, you should have him, give him an opening to return back.
I did get this, but the thing is,
You're right. David HaMelech didn't ban him out of the land of Israel. He said, you can never come back. If you come back, I'm going to kill you. He never said that.
Nothing. He ran away. All right, fine.
Right.
He never said that. Like she's saying, how can you say do such a thing and everything else? And he really didn't do anything yet.
Right. You're right. It was more of a passive way.
All right.
You're right.
I know what she's trying to say.
Yeah. 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 So she's saying, right, so you are a very righteous man. She's comparing him to a malach, right, who always aims to the truth, and you will not passing the wrong thing because you're such a righteous man, your mind is pure and clear, and you can differentiate between bad and good. Not only that, and also, v'ashem lekecha yimach. You have Hashem on your side, so anything you say is for sure coming from Hashem. So that anything you said that will apply to my son in this hypothetic story should apply to Avshalom as well. And you should allow him, you should give him an opening to come back, return back to Eretz Yisrael. Vayan HaMelech. The Melech turns to the woman and he says, Vayamar Laisha, Al not kachadim imeni. Dovar Asher Anechi Shel Oisach. Please answer this following question. Don't hold back. What is it you want to ask me, Your Highness? David picked up on the subtlety of the story of the woman, and he recognized that Yoav was involved in this story. He realized that it was Yoav who sent her, and he's now asking her, tell me the truth. Did Yoav send you? She says, indeed, it was Yoav. Yoav was the one who came over to me. He hired me. He gave me this whole story that I should tell you. And since Yoav knew the king so well, he knew the first thing the king will say is, you know, hold off. I want to think about it. I'll let you know what I'm going to do about your son. And since he knew how the king would react, he told the woman how to answer David HaMelech and tell him that she's asking him to please save her son from the family members.
It's his uncle. Even though it's this.
Right.
He was afraid to approach him.
Right, but still, Dabba Nebuchadnezzar picked up, because of the whole back and forth between him and the woman, he realized that there was only one man who was able to anticipate what David would answer, and what would be a good way to answer what David Melech said. From the whole back and forth, he recognized that it was all a setup. So he knew there was only one man who knew him that well, and it must be Yoav.
The thing's bothering me.
What's that?
How did Abshalom kill him?
He told his men to kill him.
Huh?
He told his men to kill Amnon.
He didn't do it himself.
Right.
He told his men to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't say no place. How did he kill him? He had a fight with him, or a yelling, or shot him in the street, or he ran after him and cut his head off. You know, existence ways of killing a person.
Right.
So, to make it the same as this story, it has to be almost the same way. He had him killed. He didn't do it himself. So if you tell somebody else to tell somebody, and you do it, you're responsible, not the guy that told you.
Right.
Okay. So Abshalom is a garmi, or a garmi, or
yeah.
All right, so he's not, he actually didn't shoot.
Right,
okay.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah. Okay, so now...
It's the same as the fight, yeah, it's the same.
Right,
thing.
Right. Right, so when Basakov continues, Levavur Sabev is Pnei Adavar Asa Abdechayev is Adavar Azeh. Yoav just wanted to do this in order to orchestrate the events where David will come to allow Avshalom to return. You are as wise as a malach to know exactly how the whole thing was set up, and you obviously picked up that Yoav hired me. So now, David turns to Yoav and he says, yes, okay, you got what you wanted. I'm now giving you permission, I'm granting you permission to go ahead and return Avshalom to the land of Israel. Yoav bows down to the king. He blesses him. Now I know that I have found favor in the eyes of the king, because you are allowing me, you are granting me my request. Yoav gets up, he goes to Geshur, where Avshalom was hiding. He brings Avshalom back to Yerushalayim. The king has two conditions. Avshalom is allowed to return back. However, it's got to be done in a very discreet
way. I don't want to see him.
Way. I don't want to see him.
From me.
Yeah, I presume the other brothers might want to kill Avshalom.
Why? Well, because he killed Amnon?
Yeah.
Well,
he's a rebel in the family, you know, and an outcast in the family. Who knows? I don't know.
He was only an outcast because David HaMelech was upset at him.
Yeah. So I'm sure again, the other brothers were...
Well, again, Avshalom was after Amnon. Mm-hmm. Avshalom was the next brother in line. So it's not so easy to get up against. We see there are other rebels amongst the sons of David HaMelech. David HaMelech did not have an easy life at all.
No.
He had it rough.
He supposed said, what do you do with so many wives? I want to know, what can you do with so many mother-in-laws? They're worse than a wife.
So many mothers-in-law, yeah. That's a good question. You think 18 is a lot? Shlomo HaMelech had 1,000.
Where do we have time for all this stuff?
I don't know.
There was no television.
No, 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 no. He learned. He would get up, but he didn't. He made all these smart moves and everything else. When did he have time for his wives? I mean, it was only 24 hours in a day.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So you think
you
about
know,
it.
You have to. You can't be with your wife this second and then go start running the recoitus. You have to prepare, and you know, it's just
right.
All. It's enough if you
morning,
have one wife.
Night. I don't
night.
Know.
You have 18 wives. You got to please them all.
Yeah, not easy. Not easy. So let's see what happens. So Dovah HaMelech says like this. He says, first of all, I want him to go. I don't want to see him. But secondly, when he comes in, normally, when a prince would come into the capital, to the city of Jerusalem, they would have a whole parade, a whole entourage, someone accompanying him, you know, to his house, a band, music, dancing. Dovah HaMelech is saying now, when Avshalom comes in, it's got to be done in a very discreet way. He's got to go straight to his house. No party, no band, no parade.
Nobody even knows he came back.
Right. Right, it's got to be done in a very quiet way. Go straight to your house, and I don't want to see you. Uponai lo yireh. Basically, Avshalom, basically, Uponai HaMelech lo yireh. And in fact, he did not see Dovah HaMelech. So now Avshalom was a very wise man. And he knew that David was upset with him. Clearly, David wasn't hiding it. However, he wanted to be the next king. And he felt that he should be the next king, because after Amnon comes Avshalom. He was the next in line. Now, it's not clear if he was aware of the shvuah that Dovah HaMelech made to Bathsheba, that her son Shlomo would be the next king. I don't know if it was public knowledge or not, and that's why Avshalom feared that he will not be the next king, or it was just because of the fact that he was hated by Dovah HaMelech.
How much older is he?
A lot.
Than
Shlomo? I don't know. It's a good question.
I don't remember.
He could all have been born within a couple of years of each other.
Right. That's true.
But he's a grown man already, Avshalom.
Yeah, so is Shlomo at this point. We're going to see.
He became king when he was a kid.
Yeah, he was very young, but he wasn't a baby. We're going to see.
How old was he? I don't remember.
We're going to see. Where
7, 8?
No, he was a bit older than that. We're going to see. So let's see what happens. Okay, Avshalom lehoya yishyafe b'chol Yisrael lehalal ma'oid. Avshalom was a very good-looking man. From his foot to his head, there was no mum.
No blemish.
No blemish.
Didn't have any pimples.
No pimples either, yeah. So now, Avshalom was trying to solidify his support base among the Jewish people. So what would he do? He was a Nazir. It's called a Nazir Oilam. Typically, a Nazir is a Nazir only for 30 days. He's not allowed to cut his hair, not allowed to drink wine, but Avshalom was a Nazir forever, which means he could never cut his hair. However, he can't walk around without taking a haircut at all. So once a year, he would cut his hair. His hair was so heavy that weighed 200 shekelim b'Avin HaMelech, which was a lot. It was clearly, it's a bit like unnatural, but it was very, very thick hair.
How did he keep his head up?
With the hairdresser.
He's got to get heavy hair.
Yeah, a good question. It's a good question. But, so, v'yivod olav shalom shloish avonim basachas v'shmat tamar, he ha'isa isha yaf fas mare. So, once he got back, so he had three sons and one daughter by the name of Tamar, who was a very beautiful girl. Now, once he got back to Eretz Yisrael, three of his sons, all three sons, passed away, unfortunately. And David did not come to console Avshalom for the death of his children. And from that point, Avshalom recognized, he realized how deep the hatred of David Melech was towards him. And he had to go in and take steps in order to solidify his power base in the capital. So what would he do? He used to hang out with the people. He would come and he would, you know, speak to the people who would come for judgment. Those days, anyone who had a case would come to the king, or to the court in Jerusalem, and they would bring their case. So he would speak to each one and say, like, hear out their arguments, hear out their side of the story, and he would say at the end, you know what? I think you're right. You know, it makes a lot of sense what you're saying. I think you should be. We should come out.
It's like they like the story. The guy says this, and he says, "Well, you're right." And the other one comes in, he says, "Yeah, you're right." Then somebody says, "How can they vote you right? You're right too."
Right. Right. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing Avshalom did. Right. He knew how to sway the people.
He was a good politician.
Yeah, he was a good politician. He knew how to say the right words to make people happy, to give his support to everybody without obligating himself. And that's what he used to do. People started liking him, started following him. There was a real movement of followers of Avshalom. Again, this is all his plan to go ahead and take over the kingdom. Because he knew that it's not going to happen through David HaMelech.
At this point, what about all the other, David's other children? What were they doing?
What do you mean?
Yeah, they had all the children from other wives.
Right.
What?
They didn't know who was going to be the next king. David HaMelech did not make it public who was going to be the next king. Well, as we mentioned before, Bathsheba, after baby was...
But where did he get that from? Yes, must have got it from Hashem. He isn't going to make it up itself. I mean...
Well, Nathan told him that the next son that he has from Bathsheba will be king. He knew that, yeah. But it's not clear that it was public knowledge, that everybody knew about that. Avshalom was worried.
You know, when Rivka went, when Rivka was shvangit, when she was pregnant, she went to Shem Be'eva.
Right.
And they told her, there's two, she's going to have twins.
Mm-hmm.
She never told Yaakov. I mean, she never told Yitzhak. He never knew that one's going to be good and one's going to be bad.
Right.
So, if Nosson came and told David, this is personal information that you don't divulge to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking that way, you know. When a Novi comes and talks to you, you don't. That's personal information.
Right.
Same thing with Shimshon Agibo.
Right.
She told the husband, but it wasn't broadcast all over the.
Right.
Over the radio, or
it's a very private
over
thing.
The iPhone, or the iPhone, or whatever.
Right, you're right. It's a very private thing.
What do we have to know how heavy his hair was? I mean, what's the point of this?
I was just going to describe how good looking he was, how thick his hair was.
He was a movie star, you know. You watch the TV, you see the movie star. Yeah, you know.
He's not telling you a story here. This isn't a story.
Well, this is what
everything that's written down means something. I mean...
Well, it talks about the fact that he was a Nazir, which means he was clearly a very righteous man. Not everyone is a Nazir, right? Especially a Nazir Olam, a Nazir forever. That was very uncommon.
Okay.
So now, he... So Avshalom knew that David is very upset with him. He did not even come to console him for the death of his children. And so after that, what does he do? He sits in Yerushalayim for 2 years. He did not see the face of the king.
He's with his grandfather for 3 years.
Yeah.
And now he did see David for another two years. So it's enough. Five years he didn't see his father.
Yeah. Five years. It's a long time.
Yeah.
So what does he do? He sends to Yoav. He tells him, I want you to go ahead, speak to David HaMelech, and convince him to let me see him. So he sends to Yoav, and Yoav refuses to come. Meaning Yoav refuses to go to the king. He sends to him again. He tells him, I want you to go to the king and speak to him. Again, doesn't want to come. Avshalom turns to his servants, to his men, and he tells them, Reucha kasiyav el yadi, v'loi sham sa'irim, l'chu v'atzisua be'esh. I want you to go ahead and light the field of Yoav on fire. Now, the question is, obvious question is, Yoav was clearly on his side. He was the one who orchestrated this whole story with the woman to bring Avshalom back from exile. What does he do in return? He goes ahead and he burns his sada. He burns his field. What was he thinking? Right? Where's your Karas HaTayv?
Well, but what did you say that Yoav told the king before that Shlomo would be the king? That he told him that?
He didn't tell Yoav, no. He told Bathsheba.
I know, he just told him, but who told that to the king?
Nothing.
Not this one here. Different guy here.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Nathan the Navi was the one who told him.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So the question is, why does Avshalom burn down the field of Yoav? Where's your gratitude? So the Malbim explains that because he did not see the face of the king, he held that it was really a bad thing that he came back to Yerushalayim. What was the point? I was very happy. I was doing very well in Kshura. I was hanging out with my grandfather. And I come now back to Yerushalayim, and I can't even see the face of my father. He hates me. Right? What am I doing here? So it's really a bad thing that I came back. It's very nice that you tried to bring me back, but I have nothing to do here. So in a way, he was upset at Yoav. He said, if you're bringing me back for no reason, there's no point. Yeah. That's why he burnt down his field.
Well, it says he, before that, he sent for him, and he wouldn't come.
Right. He sent for him to go to the king.
And he wouldn't do it. Oh, well, maybe that's why he burnt down the field.
Yeah, he said him. He said, if you don't convince the king to come to let me see him,
then
there's no point.
Yeah, okay. you got me to come back, but what am I doing here?
Right, exactly. So now Yoav is he caught his attention. So he comes to Avshalom and he tells him, why did your men burn down my field? I sent you a message. I want you to go to the king and convince him to see me, because there's no point for me to be here. Right? Why did it come from Kshur? I had a very good over there. That Arab Nehemelech Mimesh Mi Oven Vemisani. Now I want to see the king. If the king wants, I want to face my fate. If the king wants to kill me for anything wrong I've done, so be it. But I want to go ahead and deal with the situation. I don't want to sit here in my house doing nothing for years. There's no point. Yoav El HaMelech. Yoav comes to the king, he tells him what Avshalom said. The king is convinced, he lets Avshalom come and have a personal audience with him. He bows down to the king, down to the ground. The king kisses Avshalom. So it sounds like, oh, they made up. Yeah, now they're best friends, right? They're father and son, they're going to hang out, bring the grandkids.
or it's the kiss of death.
Yeah, so
that's what the all the crooks that did in the movies. When the big guy gave you a kiss, you were finished.
Right. Well, we are talking about David HaMelech, right? David HaMelech isn't exactly, you know, a mafia guy. Right? He's a good person. However, the Malbim says that when it says over here that the king kissed Avshalom, it was done in a way where it was very clear to Avshalom that the king did not plan on appointing him to be the next king. Why? Because if you read what it says, Vayishak HaMelech le'Avshalom, it uses a lamed. Right? So the Malbim brings down from Parshas Toldos that any time the Torah uses a neshika with a lamed, Vayishak le'Avshalom,
yeah,
it's referring to not a real kiss, it's referring to a kiss on the hand. Like he took his hand and he kissed it. Like that. A very non-affectionate way of showing your love. Really, if you really wanted to show his love, you would hug and kiss on his cheek or on his face, right? The fact that he kissed him on his hand showed him, yeah, okay, you know, we're going to be at peace, but it's going to be a cold peace, right? We're not going to be best buddies. I'm not going to appoint you to be the next king. So after that, it was clear to Avshalom. He still thought, I mean, even though he knew that David HaMelech hated him, he still thought that David HaMelech, that he would be able to make peace with David HaMelech, and you could have a real relationship, and hopefully he will be the next king someday. But now you realize that even after David HaMelech was willing to see him, it was still in a very, very parve way. So he knew at this point that he has to take matters into his own hands. And that's what we're going to see next week. In the next parak, we're going to see how he goes out and actively rebels against the king, tries to take the melucha, the kingship, by force. Okay, we're going to stop here.
At this point...